The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Now here's the thing. Sure. If in fact, because of the outrageous behavior of the last administration, you coming across the border, whether it was legal or illegal, and you lost your child, it's gone, you deserve some kind of compensation, no matter what the circumstances.
Well, at least he's not whispering there. That's Joe Biden over the weekend, losing his cool, asked another question by Peter Ducey, I think it was. And he says, of course they need compensation. So let's just go back to that was Saturday. And when did he say, it's not going to happen? That's a garbage report, what you pointed out in Wall Street Journal. Garbage reporting. We're not going to give them any kind of compensation. That was Wednesday. His administration comes out the next day, dials it back, just totally flip-flops. And then there he is. Angry now. Of course they deserve compensation. On Wednesday, no, it's not going to happen. It's a garbage report. And then on Saturday, well, you heard him there. Pretty amazing to just try to keep track of the lies, the disinformation, the deception, the spin, the fake outrage, the manufactured outrage. It makes for great theater. But what's the truth? We'll get to that and much more on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get the live stream of this program, the audio version, every day from our broadcast partner, CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. It takes this program into 11 million homes in the United States. To get to the video version of this program every day, we offer it exclusively at our very own website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and you get to the live stream page and also the podcast that we post after the fact if you'd like to listen on demand. So back in 2019, this is not that long ago, Jay Johnson, he was interviewed by this nonpartisan think tank, and he admitted that the cages, you know, the infamous cages, kids in cages, Jay Johnson, this was Barack Obama, the dear leader. This was his Homeland Security secretary. He admitted that, yes, we had cages too. Yes, we did some separating of families too. That was in 2019. This is from a story just a year ago, August 26, 2020. Johnson said the construction of the 72-hour holding facilities was prompted by a sudden influx of migrants. Local affiliate reported, an NBC affiliate, reported on the conversation of the conversion of a McAllen, Texas warehouse into a holding facility for up to 1,000 migrant children in 2014. A holding facility for children in 2014. Back when people swooned, no matter what Barack Obama did or said, they swooned when he spoke. He could do no wrong. It says here, you can't just dump seven-year-old kids on the streets of McAllen or El Paso. And so these facilities were erected. This is quoting Jay Johnson. They put those chain link partitions up so you could segregate young women from young men, kids from adults, until they were either released or transferred to HHS. Was it ideal? Of course not. But what are the alternatives? Just put them all together? Put the kids with some guy, some older man that says, well, yeah, I'm the father. He's the one that's probably selling them into the sex trafficking trade. And even the Obama people knew how dangerous it was, at least toward the end of his presidency. How many, though, before then, before 2014, did they just let right on through? How many children suffered? How many children were raped? How many young girls were raped? It's fake outrage. And to think of it just being this little sliver, that's the only time there was ever a problem there at the border with holding cells for children was in 2018. So says the ACLU. Because some complained, and of course the ACLU is there to provide them with attorneys. There's no attorneys for people or young people or anyone that suffered in 2011 or 12. Or what about the McAllen holding facility in 2014? Is the ACL going to, are they going to rush to their defense? Of course not, because it's all political. It's just make Donald Trump look bad. He was outrageous in his behavior. He was a monster. He was a madman. That's the way the game is played. And so who let's just look at the two leaders, Biden compared to Trump. Biden, by the way, was vice president when Obama was building the detention center for children in McAllen, Texas. We've got the date. We've got the location. And there he is. There he is, angrily yelling back at Peter Ducey, saying they lost their children. They lost their children. Well, supposing they were actually their children, how long did they lose them? For 2-3 days maybe? And now what's the compensation going to be? Who knows? The Biden administration is saying, well, that's all that he was really criticizing on Wednesday of last week. Hundreds of thousands of dollars, no doubt, for these people. Is there any compensation or reparations for the children that, because they were in the crowd of adults flooding across the border, that were then sold into the sex trade? Any reparations for those young people? What about for all of these illegals? You hear a case, it's like 3-4 a week, it seems, murdered by MS-13 or a drunk driver, an illegal immigrant who gets drunk. And there was one just last week, just plowed into this mother and her little child, killed the little baby. Any reparations for that American family, for that American mother? Are they going to get $400,000 from the government? Or is it just these illegal immigrants from the tiny little sliver of 2018 when Donald Trump was president? It'd be nice, you know, if the propaganda press would remind us of some of these reports that they come along later and say, oh, well, just so that you, yeah, we did fact check this. And in fact, the Obama people were doing the same thing. 2016, from the Washington Post, the Obama administration failed to protect thousands of Central American children who have flooded across the U.S. border since 2011. It was so bad that finally, round about 2014, so says Jay Johnson, finally we converted this metal building into a detention center for children. Because there were just thousands streaming across the board. You know how the cartels operate. Grab a child. That's our free ticket. Flooded across the U.S. border since 2011, leaving them vulnerable to traffickers and to abuses at the hands of government-approved caretakers, a Senate investigation found. The Senate investigated this, and they found all kinds of abuses under Obama. Says the Office of Refugee Resettlement, an agency of the Department of Health and Human Services, failed to do proper background checks of adults who claimed the children, allowed sponsors to take custody of multiple unrelated children, and regularly placed children in homes without visiting the locations, according to a 56-page investigative report. It's from 2016, final year of Obama's administration. Yeah, they just let them all come in together for the most part. till they finally wised up a bit, and then just redirected these children into homes, didn't check up on them. Who knows where they went? It's a manufactured crisis. It's all that it is. And Donald Trump, to his credit, he came in and he cracked down, said, look, we're going to try to protect these kids. Even if we have to separate them from adults for 3, 4, 5 days, we need to make sure who they belong to. We need to make sure they're not abused. And just like you would expect from the spirit that emanates from Satan the devil, our adversary, every day and just surcharges the air, you have evil being called good and good being called evil. PJ Media, 2020, last year. So Biden's excuse doesn't hold water. The fact is, he and Obama didn't keep immigrant children safe. They put countless kids in the hands of sex traffickers. The Trump administration, however, has been aggressively trying to protect immigrant kids from traffickers. Well, there's a little bit of truth, if anyone cares to know. But here's Joe Biden, the fake president. He's illegitimate. He's lying. And it's fake outrage. He's been told by his handlers, okay, this is our position now. And so come on strong. I mean, look. Donald Trump separated families. Of course they need compensation. He's on the ropes. He was here. You think about this for a second. The Republicans, they win. The weak Republicans, they shock the nation by winning Virginia. And then what do? They hand New Jersey over to the cheaters, the communists. And then they come to late Friday night, the end of the week. Biden and Pelosi, they've been trying for months to get this massive infrastructure boondoggle through. There's already weak Republicans in the Senate that sent it on over to the House. And now you have the squad. In their view, AOC and her friends, why this didn't spend nearly enough. They want trillions more to all these Green New Deal policies. So they weren't even on board with it. Late Friday night. But wouldn't you know it, 13 Republicans come rushing to the defense of Joe Biden, the illegitimate administration. They bail him out. I think most of us are old enough to remember when Donald Trump desperately wanted to get an infrastructure bill through that actually went to infrastructure, by the way. And the Democrats would not allow it. They just would not let it go through. You know why? Because they're not going to give an inch. They're not going to budge, not an inch, not a millimeter. They're not going to give Donald Trump an excuse to crow about anything. That's the way they operate. But not Republicans. No, they think that compromising with the other side is the way forward. And so they do. And our children are left to suffer. Trillions and trillions of dollars. And then you have Joe Biden. He's celebrating. There's going to be a big signing ceremony this week. Probably all those weak Republicans will show up at the White House to participate. Listen to, and meanwhile, the economy is just absolutely grinding to a halt. Inflation is out of control. And here they are celebrating, trillions more being spent. And I mean, this is the stepping stone to build back better. The Green New Deal. This is just the beginning. All right, they took some of the pork out. They took some of the Green New Deal policies out. They whittled it down a little bit because some Democrats complained, but not nearly enough. And so they continue to burn through trillions and trillions of dollars to pay all of their special interest groups. Even this group headed up by Joe Manchin's wife, I forget the name of it, some Appalachian company or whatever. They've got to pay off some people so that they can get them on board for the next legislation piece. That's the way it works in Washington. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. So much corruption, so much waste. Wait till we get the long lists of, this is the number of millions and millions of dollars going to some crazy special pet project of some congressman. There's going to be plenty of that, you can be sure. And meanwhile, ordinary Americans, you know, the ones that don't get any kind of reparations, if they lose a family member to a drunk illegal immigrant, they suffer, as we see just prices for everything skyrocketing. Last year at this time, Ted Cruz tweeted this, the average price for gas was $2.20 per gallon. As of today, it's $3.43. $1.20 in just 1 year. And what did the, what's her name, the energy secretary, Jennifer Granholm, say? She was asked yesterday if, well, do you think the average cost is going to go up to $4 per gallon? And her response was, well, hopefully, you know, we're hoping it doesn't. That's the best they have. And then they start celebrating. Hey, we got trillions to go towards some of AOC's policies. You know, electric cars, electric gas stations, or where you can power them up with electricity. We want to put those all across the nation. Listen to the Energy Secretary Granholm. She was asked this, I believe this was on Friday, about, you know, look, these rising energy costs. What can we do to, you know, clear some of the blockage right here in our own nation? And listen to her response. And more important than that, even just look at her. Look at how she responds to this question, clip two.
In Sturgis, Michigan, it is $2.89 a gallon. I guess that's better than in California. What is the Granholm plan to increase oil production in America?
Oh my God, that is hilarious. Would that I had the magic wand on this. As you know, of course, oil is a global market. It is controlled by a cartel. That cartel is called OPEC, and they made a decision yesterday that they were not going to increase beyond what they were already planning.
There she is, just laughing away. Increase oil production at home in the United States? Are you serious? I mean, this is an industry controlled by a cartel, OPEC, and they already announced they're not going to up production. So we're hostages. We're held hostage by OPEC. That's her response. Last year, the United States of America was energy independent. And this year, after all, closing all the pipelines at home, of course, and then clearing the way for the Nord Stream project to open wide open, this administration has done everything possible to shut down the oil and gas industry because that's the future that it sees in its dream of this carbon-free footprint. Lower the emissions. So we got to move. We got to move over to electricity, solar panels, wind farms, and so on. It's all part of the plan. It's all part of the attack, I should say. And so she laughs. Of course she laughs. We can't do anything about this except build more solar panels and make sure that the U.S. government provides all kinds of funding and incentive to companies like Solandra, whatever that one was from a few years ago, just a total fraud of an organization. There's going to be a lot more of them. It's embarrassing what's happening to the United States, and the whole world sees it. Joe Biden over the weekend talking about how well-received his Build Back Better plan is. The world's laughing. China's laughing. China's going to be benefiting from this boondoggle that was passed late Friday night thanks to 13 weak Republicans. All the things that they're manufacturing for the so-called clean energy, a lot of those products, certainly the parts for them, they're probably made in China. They're laughing at us. Of course, the leaders themselves, they've been bought off. They're communists through and through. And they've benefited. I mean, they've lined their pockets. How much is the Biden family worth? Surely it's got to be into the billions by now. Obama, how much is he worth? Of course, it's easy for them to talk about solar panels and wind farms or windmills. Whatever it is, here's the energy secretary again talking about, and this is always an easy excuse to fall back on. We're getting a little bit of distance from Donald Trump's administration, so you can't blame him for everything. But you can certainly fall back on COVID. Here's clip three.
And so the question is, as we move out of COVID, we know that that has been creating these supply chain bottlenecks, and that includes in the fuel sector as well. All of the economists that the president has been relying on suggest that there is a transitory nature to the inflation problem as we move through the pandemic, and we want to make sure that we get everybody vaccinated so that we can unclog the bottlenecks that we've been seeing.
So it's the unvaccinated. That's what's causing these shortages, these supply chain bottlenecks. Joe Biden had a unbelievable exchange again on Saturday, where he basically said, you know, when you talk about supply chain bottleneck shortages, really, I mean, the American people are just too stupid to understand this. The sheeple can't really understand this. Listen to Joe Biden again from Saturday, clip six.
Well, why is everything backed up? Well, it's backed up because the people supply the materials that end up being on our kitchen table or in our life. Guess what? They're closed those plants because they have COVID. They're not. So it's a complicated world.
It's a complicated world. He came back to that theme over and again. But listen to what I think this one is actually closer to just what I set up. Clip four.
And so people are worried. People are also worried about, you know, coming up, they don't, understandably. Why is the price of agricultural products, when I go to the store, why is it higher? What, like, for example, if we were all going out and having lunch together and I said, let's ask whoever's in the next table, no matter how, what restaurant we're in, have them explain the supply chain to us. Think they'd understand what we're talking about?
Of course not. They can't understand subjects like, certainly not subjects complicated like that. Basically, what he's saying is, look, this is a challenge. There's complications all over the place. Most people don't understand, and we really don't have any solutions either. That's kind of between the lines what he's saying. But what a put down of the American people! I mean, they can see ships just stacking up in line at our port facilities, and the federal government doing nothing. It's all part of the attack. It's all part of the attack. And if you get criticized, well, just blame COVID. Incredibly, in this same exchange or talk, whatever you call it, Joe Biden actually told the journalists who were sitting there in the room and listened to their reaction. But he basically told them, you know, you guys don't really know what's going on either about this supply chain bottleneck. This is clip five.
And you can understand why people are upset. And I, whether you have a PhD or you're working, you know, in a restaurant, it's confusing. And so people are understandably worried. They're worried. And so all I can say is what I'm going to try to do is explain to the American people as best I can. And by the way, you all write for a living. I haven't seen any one of you explain supply chain very well. No, I'm not being critical. I'm being deadly earnest. When your editor says, explain the supply chain. Okay? Lots of luck in your senior years, my coach used to say. But I sincerely mean it. This is a confusing time.
It's a confusing time. He's slipping back into the whisper mode. But he said there that the journalists, they haven't been able to explain the supply chain crisis very well either. So they don't know what's going on. Ordinary Americans don't know what's going on. And so his job is to just try to explain it. To try to explain how complicated this is. How confusing this time is. This is the president of the United States. Donald Trump would solve this problem in about 2 seconds. Clearing those port facilities. Unloading those ships. But not this illegitimate president. Listen to one more statement from the other day. This is clip 7.
This is a confusing moment. And it seems to me that my job as the President of the United States is to try to figure out, myself as well, what is most needed to put people at ease. How do we do this? And so this is a confusing time. But I promise the American people, I have one focus. How do we give you some breathing room?
He says it's a confusing time. In fact, he's confused. Listen to him. This is the President of the United States saying, it seems to me that my job as the President is to try to figure out, myself as well, what's most needed to put people at ease. What? That's how he sees his job? Well, he's not setting people at ease, is he? This Rasmussen poll from, it's a little old now, a few weeks ago, October 15th. 56% now say that there was cheating in the 2020 election, up from 51% in April. Well, isn't that interesting, the trend line? Because the propagandists in the media, they have blotted out anyone that would dare suggest there was cheating. They've put a lot of the protesters, 600 and something, from the January 6th protest, in jail even. They made Rudy Giuliani out to be this crazed lunatic. He censored, or rather those that would contest the election on social media, they've been censored. But it's going up. I saw a reporter, I think she's at OAN, mention that one reason she thinks that even with the weakness in Arizona to actually take the evidence and do something with it, there's evidence all over the place. Same with Wisconsin, same with Pennsylvania, certainly in Georgia. But again, like I said at the top, so many weak, even Republicans, they just won't take the evidence and actually prosecute someone and actually hand out indictments. Look at what they did just last week in New Jersey. Just hand it over to them, another mysterious ballot dump, and yet they do nothing about it. And yet, in general, according to Rasmussen, 56% now say that there was cheating. And it was just 51% in April. So how do you explain that? Well, this OAN reporter said that people are seeing what a train wreck this illegitimate administration is, and they're waking up to the fact that the administration is exactly that, illegitimate. This is not legitimate. This is an attack on the United States. 47% of black voters now say there was cheating in the 2020 election. Are you going to hear that in the mainstream media? 47%? 55% support 2020 election audits, including 53% of black voters. A majority, they want the audits. They want the investigations. They want to get to the bottom of November 3rd, 2020. 60% say preventing cheating is more important than making it easier to vote. The communists, you see, and they started calling for this as soon as the fake president was inaugurated. We need to make it easier for people to vote. In other words, we need to make it easier for us to cheat. 60%, though, say preventing cheating is more important than making it easier to vote. 60% agree that opponents of requiring a photo ID to vote just want to make it easier to cheat in elections, including 63% of black voters. I mean, that's astounding. These are astounding figures. And the trend line, as I say, it's working in favor of Republicans or conservatives, and yet so many of them are just so weak. They will not fight. They don't have the courage to stand against this communist tidal wave, really. People talk about the red wave. They've tried to make the Democrats out to be pretty divided, and there's a little division there. AOC and her group wouldn't vote for this infrastructure deal because it wasn't bad enough, in their view. But still, when it comes to attacking Republicans, when it comes to going after Donald Trump, they're not going to give him any infrastructure deals. No way. He's the enemy. He's the enemy that has to be attacked. And now they're going after his followers, his supporters, just as he said they would. If they come after me, really their target isn't me. Their target, as Trump used to say, is you, ordinary Americans. I went through our notes from a year ago because we just passed the the official election steal happened on the day that the media anointed Joe Biden as the fake president of the United States. That was, who can forget that Saturday afternoon or late morning, I guess, here. We were over at Edstone at the time. So we come back after an evening out, Saturday evening, and the media, they had anointed Joe Biden. That was on Saturday, and then I looked back through my notes from our Monday program, November 9th, 2020, and we played this clip from Newt Gingrich, the Fox News commentator, and listen to this, clip 19.
We believe these people are thieves. We believe the machines are corrupt. The big city machines are corrupt. We think this is an election. And interestingly, Patrick Basham, who's the most accurate pollster, he's British, wrote in a British paper this morning that this clearly was a stolen election, that it's impossible to imagine that that Biden outran Obama in some of these states. And he said, if you look at places like Cleveland or Chicago or New York, none of this happened. But where it mattered, they stole what they had to steal. And I think that they have a big mountain to climb.
Yeah, he was wrong on that last bit. There were a lot of people, if you remember, right after the steal, who said that, well, surely this is going to be overturned in the courts. Surely this is going to work its way up to the Supreme Court. Everything was fairly normal in New York and Chicago. They didn't need those states. But boy, they needed Pennsylvania. They needed Michigan. They needed Wisconsin. So that's why there was so much corruption in Milwaukee, in Detroit, in Philadelphia. That's why there was so much corruption in Fulton County, in Maricopa County, in Georgia and Arizona. How do you explain this? That's Newt Gingrich right at the end saying that the communists, the radicals, the radical left, the Democrats, they've got a big mountain to climb. Well, they had a lot of help to get up to the top of that mountain. As the media pounced on anyone that would contest, anyone that would expose the fraud, anyone that would say, we've got evidence accumulating all over the place. You heard them. No evidence, no evidence, no evidence, no evidence. And then it culminated in the confrontation on January the 6th. Total false flag. Tucker Carlson has shown that in detail with his documentary. But the truth of it is, there's other sources on the right that have exposed. They've exposed the fraud, the hoax of January 6th. Even back in February and March. It was a setup. And a lot of people were involved. A lot of powerful people at Capitol Hill, the Capitol Hill police, that let everyone in the doors. Nobody died except for Ashley Babbitt, an unarmed woman, a Trump supporter. And I mean, seeing that part of the documentary, Tucker's, I mean, and hearing from her mother and her husband, and seeing how Antifa and these radical communist groups have targeted the Babbitt family. She can't get any support. People aren't holding her up as a martyr. Not like they did with George Floyd. So when they have a when they have any kind of a rally in her name, well, Antifa shows up, and all of a sudden, they're law keepers. Ashley Babbitt should have kept the law. She shouldn't have trespassed. These people, these same people that burned down entire cities just last summer. And I mean, they those victories for Antifa last summer, they paid off because they can do what they want. They stopped a peaceful protest in Boston over the weekend. Antifa showed that they had gotten the permits. They got the speakers. I'm talking about the peaceful protesters. And then Antifa shows up and law enforcement immediately comes in and says, all right, protest is off. We want you going home. We want Antifa going home. They won't even stand up for someone that does it the right way. Antifa controls the streets in so many of these cities. And it's because no one stood up to them last year. That same program from last year that we produced, November 9th, 2020, I played the Newt Gingrich clip. Here's another one from journalist James Dellingpole, clip 20.
This has been stolen from Donald Trump. And I say, finally, shame on all those alleged conservatives. And I'm calling you out because you're not really conservatives. You're demanding that Trump surrenders gracefully an election which has been stolen from him. Shame on you, because you are going to, if Biden does get in, you are going to rue the day. It's going to empower censorious big tech. It's going to be out of control. And Trump was your last chance of reining it in. I think the world is going to be an uglier, darker, less free place if Trump gets cheated in this election. And I hope he fights to the bitter end, because he's doing it for all of us.
Well, that was just a year ago. He says to those so-called conservatives, if you don't fight here, you're going to rue the day that you just stepped aside and gave them what they wanted. Trump should just surrender. Look, let's think about 2022, 2024. Well, look at where we are now. That commentator you just heard was completely right. 1 year on, and look at the level of devastation. Look at what the big tech giants have done. Now only one side gets a voice. Now only one side gets to protest, quote unquote. The other side, they get thrown in jail. The other side, they're told to go home. Oh, Antifa shows up. You guys, I'm sorry, you can't have your protest. Even though you got your permit, even though everything was official and legit, we can't have a confrontation between peaceful protesters and Antifa. And so law enforcement sides with Antifa. The peaceful protesters go home and Antifa celebrates. They're celebrating in the streets. We control the streets. It's because the communists are in power. I want to go through some of the other programs that we had in the aftermath of the steal on November 7th, because as I noticed from those notes I went through yesterday, there's quite a few interesting sound bites, comments from people that said, hey, if we don't fight here, this is where it's going to lead. It's a great lesson in that for us, even in the spiritual sense. We've got to put our foot down and stand up for what's right and for what's true. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Every particle of human suffering, unhappiness, misery, and death has come solely from the transgression of God's immutable law. Obedience to God's law liberates us from all unhappiness, pain, and suffering. It frees us from captivity, from spiritual slavery. Obeying God's commandments guarantees a life overflowing with joyful abundance. For much more on this subject, request a free copy of The Ten Commandments. When you make your request, don't forget to enroll in the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. This 36-lesson course is a distance learning program that will help you to get to know your Bible. Each month, you will receive a lesson that guides you in discovering the answers to life's most important questions, all from your own Bible. Your enrollment has already been paid for. Enroll today. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
On last week's shows, or in a couple of them, we went through the example of Esau and the fact that he sold his birthright, his future, his inheritance, for just a bowl of soup, a bowl of pottage. And he, as I said last week, he really lost the vision. We've got to be people of vision. We've got to set our sights on the things above, as Paul said in Colossians. Jesus said, lift up our eyes. Look into the future. If you think about what's happened to so many of our dear brethren in the Laodicean era of God's church, they had the truth of God. They had the most valuable, precious commodity there is in the spiritual sense, God's truth. But they didn't value it. And so many of them have just, they've sold off their future, their inheritance, their birthright for physical, temporary gratification, for a bowl of soup, spiritually speaking. They didn't value the truth of God, and so many of them are going straight into the great tribulation, where hopefully God can get through to them. Of course, God would like to get through to them today by these words. He'd like to see them turn it around now and not keep putting off until tomorrow what they should do today. Notice Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, Esau, of course, you can see what God says about him in Malachi 1. I think we read that last week. No, I see it. It's in my notes here a little bit later. But it says in Malachi 1 that God loved Jacob, but he hated Esau. I mean, God looked at what Esau did there and thought, you know, if you look into the book of Obadiah, you talk about how Esau was deceived by his pride. And he, of course, he wanted to carry out violence against his brother Jacob. So God, I mean, he doesn't take that lightly. He says, I love Jacob and I hated Esau. Now, Jacob, of course, had his problems. He wasn't a perfect man. He did deceitfully scheme to go about getting the birthright. He didn't go about it the right way. But one thing you see in the life of Jacob, one thing you see brought out in Scripture, is that he really valued the birthright. He valued it. He didn't want to let it go. He didn't want to let it slip away. Genesis 32, verse 26, this was when he was in that wrestling match with the being who would become Jesus Christ. It says, and he said, let me go. Christ said, let me go, for the day breaks. And Jacob said, I will not let you go except you bless me. I mean, the poor man's hip was out of joint. And yet he would not let go of this spirit being who came in the flesh without a blessing first. Now that's a tenacious kind of spirit that God loves to see. Again, God would have worked it out. He didn't want Jacob to go about it deceitfully, but he certainly loves to see someone who values their spiritual birthright, who just won't let the truth of God go. Look at the supreme test that God put us through in these last days. It's discussed over in 2 Thessalonians 2. It says that because we didn't love the truth, God sent strong delusion to see who really valued the truth, who really loved the truth. Are you passing that test? Or have you succumbed to strong delusion? We saw how many succumbed to it in the spiritual nation of Israel, and now you look at the nations of Israel in the physical sense, the United States, Britain, and look how many just go right along with strong delusion. They forget history that's not even 9-10 months old. And they just swallow anything that the propagandists in the press tell them, or even the administration, even if it's illegitimate. Even if 56% know it's illegitimate that they got away with cheating. Hebrews 12 and verse 14, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the eternal. Follow peace. Set an example. My father gave a message over the weekend about how that God's church, it's the beginning of a new world. This is the world tomorrow in embryo. What's happening in God's church today? It's about to spring on the whole world where they're going to see it in every corner. But they need to see it even today when they look at God's family. Live it. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the eternal. They're not going to see Christ in you if you're not living it, if you're not doing it, if you're not a doer of God's word. Verse 15, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. I told you about what God says in Malachi 1 regarding Esau. Here, the Apostle Paul refers to him as a profane person. Why? Well, because he sold his future, his inheritance. And he did it for a bowl of soup. He did it for nothing. Now, think about God's people giving up the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, for something that's just worthless and temporary by comparison. Are you willing to give up God's kingdom for nothing? Or will you fight for the kingdom? Will you fight for the truth? It makes me think of Romans 8. It's not in my notes here. Let's just look at that quickly. Bear with me. Romans chapter 8. This is the Apostle Paul. He says toward the end, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What's going to separate you from God and His truth, from God and His love? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It says, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long, and we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. It says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Paul's basically saying, who's going to separate us? And well, he concludes by saying, nothing's going to separate me from Christ. Nothing's going to take me away from this truth. Verse 38, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, nothing, with God's help and with our willingness to endure to the end, Matthew 24, 13, nothing will separate us from this awesome calling. Verse 17, you can see why vision is so critically important. Verse 17 says, for you know how that afterward, this is speaking of Esau, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. So afterwards, a good while after, he had sold off everything for a bowl of soup. Then Esau, he then really wanted the blessings. But he wanted it on his terms. He didn't want to go about it God's way. He wasn't willing to make changes. It says there that he found no place for repentance. Even though he sorrowed and cried, there were a lot of crocodile tears, you can be sure. But he didn't change. He didn't repent. That's what God's looking for. Repentance is liberating. Repentance frees us from captivity. That's what sin is. It holds us captive. It keeps us in slavery. Let go and follow Christ. Well, in order to do that, with the kind of drive and motivation that we need, we really do need to set our sights on the future, on that inheritance, on that coming kingdom and our place in it. We've got to set our sights on our birthright, spiritually speaking. Notice 1 John 3 and verse 1. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not." Are we really going to be sons of God? What manner of love is this? That God would say, beginning in the first chapter of the Bible, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." He really meant what he said there. And here, what manner of love that we should be called the sons of God? Verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We're going to see him just as he is, in all of his glorious power and radiance. Just how he's described there in Revelation 1. That's because we're going to be God beings ourselves. And I can prove this to you from so many different scriptures. I don't have time to get through all of them. John 10 and verse 34, Jesus said there, "You are God's." Revelation 19:7 says that the bride, which is the church of God, has made herself ready to marry Jesus Christ. And then in Revelation 1 and Revelation 5, actually, it talks about us being, those of us in God's family today, those in the church, talks about us as being kings and priests, a family of God with so many billions and billions of children to come into that family in the wonderful world of tomorrow and during the Great White Throne judgment period. I'm throwing a lot of information at you, but this book here, Mystery of the Ages, this will summarize God's plan in wonderful and beautiful detail. It's a magnificent summary of God's purpose and plan as it's being worked out here below. It helps you to understand your Bible. So call our operators today, 1-866-930-3024. Make sure that you request Mystery of the Ages. Let me just finish this thought quickly. Verse 3, it says, "And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Verses 3 and 4 there. And the point that my father's made in the last hour and elsewhere is that we've got to have vision. We've got to see. We've got to see our future. And if we don't, we're not going to purify ourselves. In referring to these two verses, my father says, first you've got the vision there, and then you've got the work that we need to put in, purifying ourselves with God's help. It says in the last hour, notice the way this truth is presented in these verses. First, God gives us this transcendental goal, and then he shows us how to achieve it. We must keep God's law and follow the government that implements it. That's all that we have time for, unfortunately, on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Don't forget to email the program, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.